Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're exploring the book of Zechariah and discovering the message that the King is coming. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Surely do appreciate you joining in, listening day by day. Zechariah is one of those books of the Bible that you just can't read when you're about to go to sleep at night. It's one of those books that you really need to stop and concentrate and study and compare scripture with scripture and really give it some time and attention. Not that we shouldn't be doing that with every book of the Bible, but let's face it, some parts of scripture are more difficult to understand than other parts of scripture. And even Peter talked about that when he talked about, hey, there are some things that Paul wrote that were hard to understand. That doesn't mean they're impossible. It just means that we've got to put a little bit more hermeneutic elbow grease into it. And that's what we're trying to do here in these chapters. It's a privilege today to have John Edmonds back with us. John, of course, is my friend, number one, but number two, the president of Veritas Baptist College. Caleb and his wife, Cassie, and their little baby girl are on vacation. And so John's pinch hitting here for a couple episodes. And John, thanks for being back with us.
It's my privilege to be with you, Pastor. I really can enjoy to do these with you. I enjoy you as my friend, as my pastor. In the book of Zechariah, you know, Caleb left on an exciting part here. Chapters 11 and 12 are just some great chapters to dive into.
So panoramically, we've seen the eight visions in the first six chapters of Zechariah. We've seen a series of messages that God gave to Zechariah. But now we're in the last couple chapters, we've been talking about the burden, sometimes called the oracle. What God allows Zechariah to see and to hear that really is a burden. I mean, to put it in that sense of the word, because it deals with some pretty heavy material that we've been talking about. And chapter 11, I think, is a great example of that. Look at verse 1. Of the chapter, if you're following along, the Bible says, "Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled, a voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled." So great metaphoric, poetic language supplied at the beginning of chapter 11. So when the Bible talks about the doors of Lebanon and the howling of these trees and these shepherds, what do you make of that, John?
You know, I think you hear, Pastor, this really is a dark day for the people of Israel that's going to touch upon even nations around them. You know, you talk about a burden. This really is a weighty message. And chapter 11 really deals with some great judgment for the people of God that's not just going to touch their land. It's going to affect people around them. You know as well as I do that Lebanon, the cedars, they were highly valued, very precious, a place of strength for Lebanon. Oaks of Bashan, that was just a place of power. It's not going to be that way when the judgment of God falls. The judgment of God will take those things that people think really are just great and steady and steadfast and faithful, and God's going to judge them, and there's going to be great desolation that will affect not just Jerusalem, but it's going to affect areas around there.
Remember, my friends, we talked about the prediction of the Grecian Empire sweeping through the north and overtaking the city of Tyre, for instance, and then the cities of Philistia. And remember, we talked about the fact that Judah in the day of Alexander the Great would be spared. She would not be judged. That does happen under one of the leaders in the Seleucid Empire, Antiochus Epiphanes. We talked about that on this podcast. So the reference here to a destruction, a sweeping destruction through Lebanon, the doors here would be like the valleys through the mountains that you're coming down through. So an invasion from the north that's going to be destructive and bring great sorrow to God's people. What invasion is this?
You know, here, I think the primary reference right here is to what's going to happen under Titus, the general. When Titus brings in AD 70, is going to bring in desolation and is going to really just, you know, take Jerusalem. The temple will be demolished, and this will be a great destruction. There have been many great emperors before, you know, before this time period that Zechariah is referring to in AD 70, but God did not allow them to take over Jerusalem. God had his hand upon the people there. The Messiah was going to come. The Messiah did come, and I don't get too far ahead of ourselves here, but now after the Messiah has gone, God will withdraw his hand of protection from Israel, and now this Roman general Titus will do what has not been done before in recent time, and that is Jerusalem is going to be destroyed in a great way.
And Josephus talked about the events of this destruction, this Roman destruction of Jerusalem, in a classic piece that he wrote called The Jewish War. And it really chronicles the rebellion of Jews against Rome starting in 66, but really culminating in Rome's squashing of that rebellion in 70 AD. And the city of Jerusalem was just completely destroyed. The temple destroyed. There were thousands of people that were crucified. And all of that had been predicted a generation before by Jesus himself. Remember when Jesus was being led down what we call the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, to the cross, bearing his own cross. The women were weeping. It was a pathetic sight to see this condemned criminal going to his death. And remember, Jesus said, "Don't weep for me, weep for yourselves." And he was speaking about this prophecy. Now, was he referencing this prophecy? Maybe not, but scripture comes back to that over and over again. And just as you said, John, they had rejected Jesus. And so now God's favor upon Jerusalem was broken. And we're going to see that later on in this same chapter.
You know, when I think of the heart of Christ, the story you just mentioned, Pastor, about on his crucifixion, I also think on the triumphal entry, what we often call the triumphal entry, you know, is Christ. I can just picture Christ cresting the Mount of Olives and seeing Jerusalem ahead of him. But if you would have seen the face of Christ, the people around are all jubilant, they're, you know, Hosanna, Hosanna, but Christ is weeping. Why? Because he knows what's about to transpire. And I think of Matthew 23, when Christ cries, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together as a mother hen gathers her chicks, and you would not."
Right, you would not. I gave you every opportunity to respond to me, but you willfully, deliberately chose to reject me. And there's a price for rejection. And that price, part of that price, I think, is what chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 is detailing, that it will be a time of great howling, mourning, weeping. Nothing I can do. It's the cry of sorrow for the consequence of a bad choice.
You know, I think of the temple, how to the Jewish people that meant so much to them. And I think even the disciples in Matthew 24, where they're just looking at the temple and just being in awe of how great it was. And Christ tries to correct their thinking about their perspective of that material object. And yet the Jewish people prize that. And you know as well as I do, Pastor, Josephus talks about it, how that when Titus comes to destroy Jerusalem, destroy the temple, not one stone is left upon another. They just, you know, raise it to the ground, so to speak. It is destroyed.
And the Bible speaks a little bit to the reason for judgment in verse number 3. So the voice of the howling of the shepherds, their glory is spoiled, a voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. And what they placed their value in was, look at what we have, and look at who we are, and look at how prosperous we are. and their focus was not where it needed to be.
It was not at all. And again, my mind goes back to Matthew 23 when Christ is saying, "Oh, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." And Christ talks about how, you know, they say if you swear by the temple, it's not a big deal. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, well, now you've got to keep your promise.
Right, right. So they had placed this inordinate amount of affection and devotion to what should have been a means to an end.
Yes.
The temple should have been the way by which they saw the God of the temple. The temple should have been the place at which they prayed and communicated with God. And Jesus, when he cleansed the temple, both at the beginning and end of his ministry, brought them back to that reality. You've made this a house of merchandise. So, but, you know, John, lest we get too hard on the Jewish people, I think we do that in modern Christianity. We make ministry about the means and not about Christ.
That is all too often an easy trap to fall into, where we get our mind off the main thing, we get our mind off Christ. Christianity becomes religiosity, becomes ritual, not relationship. We don't really focus upon people, but we focus upon, you know, running things smoothly, which we want things to run smoothly, but people are what we're here for. People don't get in the way of ministry. People are ministry.
Right, right. So there are some lessons. All the Bible is profitable for all of us all of the time. And here in Zechariah chapter 11, what we started as being, wow, that's a pretty horrific prophecy for people that rejected Messiah. Well, I mean, in big and small ways, sometimes we reject Messiah. Not that you can lose your salvation, but what a reminder for us to take God's word at face value, to honor Jesus first, and not to have to learn through the school of bad consequences.
You know, this is a great passage. You're right, Pastor, to remind us to take Jesus Christ seriously as our Savior and Lord and follow him with great gratitude and with great zest.
We're going to jump into the nitty-gritty of this chapter in the days to follow. And I hope you'll stay with us, because Zechariah chapter 11 is among the greatest chapters in all the Old Testament to give us specific prophecies about the ministry of Jesus. And you're going to be amazed as we plow through it. So please hang on and stay focused, and let's see all that God has for us from this chapter. God bless you, my friends. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.